to your feet and turn with me in your Bible to the first gospel, the gospel of St. Matthew. The first gospel, the gospel of St. Matthew. Matthew chapter number 5. I want you to say amen. We've located the text. Matthew, and then I'm going to read just a couple verses out of the book of Psalm, the 15th chapter, the 15th number, the 15th division of the Hebrew Psalter, the Hebrew hymn book, Psalm number 15. So we're going to start first with the Gospel of St. Matthew. Say amen when you've located the text. To God be the glory. Amen. Unlike Micah, we shouldn't need any help finding Matthew this time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Bless the bed that I lie on. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse number 1. In those scriptures, you will find these words written. And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Go over with me to the book of Psalm number 15. And although a short psalm, powerful in what it represents. So just look with me at verses 1 through 5, the entire psalm number 15. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May edify and may sanctify the people of God. Would you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, How to Be Blessed and Be a Blessing. How to be blessed and be a blessing. Let us pray together. Father, we ask now that your words that you've given to us would not return void, but that these words that were written on tablets of clay, transcribed on pieces of leaves and paper, and now have been written upon the surfaces of our heart, that your word would not return void, but that it may indeed illuminate minds, teach all of us something we did not know. May it encourage our hearts, help us to know trouble doesn't last always. And God, may your word convict our souls that we may yield and accept the free gift of eternal life and salvation. We love you, God. We bless you. We glorify. We magnify you. Let the anointing of the Most High God continue to fall fresh in this place. And God, we shall be ever careful to give you glory, praise, and honor. For you alone are worthy to be praised. This is our prayer. We ask it in the matchless name of Jesus, our Christ, that all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated as well. So anybody else tired of snow? Am I the only one? Amen. Listen, but we thank the Lord for what he gives. For some of us who've been in the summer, we're going to be wishing it was cooler. So it's never perfect, but we thank God for what he gives. On this Sunday, this third Sunday in February, I want to take up a theme that we've been taking up all month, and that is kind of the richness of our African ancestry. Black History Month. We have heard from our young people, and did Faith Beckett did our Black History Month moment today, is that right? Did she do a great job? Let's give her a big hand of encouragement. And we thank the Lord for her parents, who certainly are a great cheerleader and source of support for her, and the same thing for all of our young people who have made it their business to focus on how to present our Black history. Today, between services, we look forward to having a abbreviated but respectful and powerful time of reflection on our Black on our own church history. Our own church's history, the 134 years that the Lord has blessed the Shiloh Church. And somebody ought to thank God just for 134 years, but certainly the Lord has blessed this congregation. So we're going to do that in between services. And then next Sunday, we're going to culminate our Black History Month program, our Black History Month observances, with a culmination service next Sunday afternoon at 3:30. So the month has been focused on looking at what our ancestors have accomplished through faith. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the everlasting arms. Listening to Deacon Poole pray, God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us safely thus far along thy way, thou who had by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever upon thy path, we pray. How many of you know you didn't get here by yourself? The Lord has been good to each and every one of us. And it is only by his grace and his mercy that do any of us stand where we stand, sit where we sit, live where we live, drive what we drive, work where we work, worship where we worship, and have the health that we have in our bodies. Listen, it's been a long morning as I got word early this morning about Sister Stan Willis's son, Kevin. And visiting with them in the wee hours of the morning, I simply was reminded that he kissed his mama goodbye, and in a parking lot, he fell down and took his last breath. So you never know what life is going to bring, and you never know how fragile life is. 47 years old. Just kissed his mama, talked to his sister, talked to his children, and now he's gone on to try eternity. So, beloved, I simply stand to remind us that we all are living on borrowed time, walking by God's grace and walking by his mercy. And so as we come today, I the Lord laid this sermon on my heart and these passages on my heart several weeks ago. Last Sunday was our Haitian Mission Sunday. Pastor Luke and the Reverend Emmanuel Bujali both did an excellent job of proclaiming the gospel. Give God a praise offering for the both of them and the work that we're trying to do in Haiti. And Reverend Bujali, a Haitian-born brother in Christ who is faithful to the kingdom of God and certainly to this pastor and this local church. I thank the Lord for what happened last Sunday. And the Sunday before that, the first Sunday, the Lord laid on my heart to talk about Micah. And so Micah's message to us was, at the end of the day, God has told us what he wants from us. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. There's some things that we do. We don't earn our way into heaven. But how many of you know, once you are saved, there's a way that you ought to walk, and a way that you ought to talk, and a way that you ought to behave that says you are a little bit different than the one who is not yet saved, but not standing in judgment nor contempt, but that you who knows what God has done in your life, that you're able to then understand what the ultimate responsibility is of a child of the Most High God. Micah says, at the end of the day, you can't give God anything to earn what God has given you. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't pray hard enough. You can't sing loud enough. You can't go to church more. You can't give enough money. It is a free gift of eternal salvation. Amen, somebody. And he says, then the only thing, once you've accepted the free gift, is to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. I can even take today's sermon title and superimpose it on the Micah message. How do you get blessed? You do justice. How do you get blessed? You love kindness. How do you get blessed? You walk humbly with your God. It's not, you don't get blessed because you're so good looking. You don't get blessed because you're so handsome. You don't get blessed because you're so educated. You don't get blessed because you're so holy. You don't get blessed because you come to church so often. You don't get blessed because you give a lot of money. You don't get blessed because you sing so well. You don't get blessed because of who you know and down here on earth. You get blessed simply because you have yielded your life to the living God of heaven and earth. And so these scriptures that are not taken from today's lectionary, but from one of our lectionary readings, Micah 6 is one of those lectionary readings, Psalm 15 is one of those lectionary readings, as well as Matthew chapter 5 is one of those lectionary readings. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter is also one of those lectionary readings. So each of those lectionary readings have similar themes, and if I were to take the theme today from the Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, it is the same type of thing. Jesus is saying, if you who are going to follow me are going to be blessed, then you've got to act a certain kind of way. If you who say that you are believers in the Most High God, then there's a certain kind of way that you act. There's a certain kind of way that you walk. There's a certain kind of way that you talk. There's a certain kind of affect that you give off. There's a certain kind of spirit that you reflect. There is a certain kind of je ne sais quoi with the friend say, I can't put my hand on it, but I know it when I see it. Amen, somebody. What is a Christian? Ask yourself, what is a Christian? Is a Christian the person you see when you look in the mirror? Or is a Christian that you may not be able to package it all nice and neatly, but when you see the person, you know there's something different about that person. I know Christians who try to package themselves all nice and neat, right? They talk the talk, they walk the walk, they may even dress the dress, they say the right things at the right time, but there's something you can't put your finger on it that simply does not reflect what really is supposed to be a child of God. And then there's some other folk who don't go to church hardly ever. Amen, somebody. I mean, you know, just because you come to church don't make you saved. And just because you don't go to church doesn't mean you're not saved. Amen, someone. And so we've got to be careful about how to package a Christian, how to package a believer, because believers come in all shapes, sizes, configurations, races, ethnicities, socioeconomic statuses. All of that does not somehow magically or mystically make you a child of God. And so what Jesus says is when he saw his disciples, all of the folk who had gathered, when he saw those believers, he began to teach them about what is supposed to be the right attitude. I always say that this text, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, is similar to what Moses did when he went to the top of the mountain, peered over into the promised land, and saw the promised land. Like Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming. I've seen the promise. I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get where God wants us to be. And so Moses says, before you go over into the promised land, there's some things you got to know about the God we serve. Before you step foot into the chilly waters of the River Jordan and cross over into Canaan, the land filled with milk and honey, the place where I told you I was going to take you, before you get to where you're going, before you arrive at your destination, before you get to the place I have promised you. How many of you know God has taken us all on a journey? And before you get there, there's some things you got to do and some ways you got to act. But the way, in order to get there, is not predicated on, your arrival at the destination is not predicated on your relationship to God. Your relationship to God is what it predicates your arrival at the destination. Let me say that thing in another way. Some of us wait till we get to our destination before we give God praise. And what Moses is telling the people, before you even get to the promised land, you gotta walk the way God wants you to walk. You gotta talk the way God wants you to. You're not getting the message this morning. Before your blessing comes through, you gotta praise Him even before you get to where you're going. Before you arrive at your destination, the journey is what it's all about. And how many of you know God is taking us up some rough sides of mountains, down some valleys low, over some long rivers, but in the way, in the midst of all of that, I've still learned how to give God praise, because my praise is not contingent upon what He does. My praise is contingent upon who He is. And how many of you know we serve an awesome God who is worthy of our praise? And so the preachers say, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noonday, praise Him in the evening. I simply say, praise Him whenever and whenever and every time you think about the goodness of the Lord. How many of you know, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? Maybe I'm the only one here today. I know that it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Jesus speaks to His disciples and He says to them, I'm going to give you some beatitudes. Now, the word beatitude is not as reductionistic as I'm about to make it, right? Nice fancy word that speaks about one's decorum, one's character, one's demeanor, one's disposition, all of that good stuff. But let me take the word at face value. It is the kind of attitude that God wants me to be. Beatitudes. It's the kind of spirit God wants me to reflect. It's the kind of disposition I'm supposed to have if I say I believe in God. How many of you know that as a Christian, you ought to have something about you that says you're a little bit different than the world around you? You ought not respond the way everybody else responds. Even when you are on the rough sides of mountains, there ought to be something about your character and your walk that says, I believe in God no matter what comes my way. I'm standing on the promises of God. I don't know why I am where I am. I'm going to trust in the Lord until I'm on the battlefield for my God. And I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. There's something that says I'm not going to give up the fight easily. And I'm going to have joy even when I'm going through my trials and my tribulations. And so therefore Jesus gives this list of beatitudes. And you've read them many times. You've read them in Sunday school. I don't stand to recite them and walk through them each one by one. But I want you to note a couple of things. I want you to note the word blessed. I want you to see this word blessed, which in many respects speaks to the object of receiving something, but also the reflection of that which you've received. And so you can get a blessing, but you can also be a blessing.
You can receive something, but you can also give something. And so what you get speaks to your being blessed. But how you walk and how you reflect the goodness of the Lord also reflects whether or not you know you are blessed. Some of y'all, right? I know it's early in the morning. It's 8 o'clock. Come on, somebody. I know there's a few other saints who are praying with me this morning. And so there's a notion of not only do I get something, but I give something. I always tell new members when they come to church, you hear me say it, I want you to come giving and getting. I want you to come getting wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And if you get a deep appreciation of God's word, if you're getting that, if your spirit is being fair, I tell folks, listen, if the Lord isn't using me to feed your spirit, you need to find a church and a pastor who can feed your spirit. Because I'd rather you be fed than to sit here looking like whatever. I don't know. You got to get fed. It is your responsibility to find a place where your soul can be fed. Amen, somebody. Where you can be blessed. But once you've been blessed, then you ought to reflect the goodness of the Lord. You ought, before folk even ask you how you doing, you ought to be something working on the inside that's coming out on the outside. You ought to be able to say, there goes a blessed brother right there. There goes a blessed sister right there. I don't know what they got, but whatever they have, I want a little bit of what they have, because the way they're walking and the way they're talking and the way they're reflecting says something about them. Come on, somebody. I want what they have. I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon any day. I'd rather see some blessed folk than hear how blessed you are. I'd rather you walk in your blessings and tell me how much you've been blessed. Because the goodness of the Lord ought to bubble up and spill over. There ought to be something you cannot contain. I tell folk all the time, if you don't want to praise him, don't stop me from praising him. If you don't want to jump up, don't stop me from jumping up. If you don't want to lift up your hands, don't look at me funny when I lift up my hands. If you don't want to shout, don't look at me like I'm crazy when I start shouting. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know like I know how he set me free. Tap your neighbor, say, neighbor, you don't know what the Lord has done for me. Jesus says, I want you to understand that you are being blessed, but I also want you to be a blessing. A lot of us get, but we don't give. Come get wisdom, get knowledge, get the word, get understanding, get fellowship. But what are you giving? Give your faithfulness. Give your time and service to the Lord. Give your commitment to God. Give off some joy. Give off some peace. Make things better when you're around certain kinds of situations. Come give something. Jesus says to his disciples, blessed are you if you do these things and if you understand these things. So starting in verse number 2, he lists a series of statements about blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. If you were to stop and analyze and dissect the statements of the Beatitudes, right, the first two or three make it sound like I don't want to be in that category. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Lord, I don't want to be poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. I'm tired of crying. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those. Let me stop right there. Those first three. I think about our ancestors. And I think about the pain that many of my foremothers and forefathers have been through. And I think about the weary journey that many of them have been on. I think about even yesterday when I read and heard the verdict about young 17-year-old Jordan Davis down in Jacksonville, Florida. And I began to say, okay, God, I have a better sense of what you're talking about. For if my son had been shot unneedlessly and unlawfully in a gas station by a man who simply did not like his music, I would be poor in spirit also. If my son had been murdered and the person who shot him had gotten off not wicked killing my son but attempting to kill three other boys, I would be those who need to be comforted as well. If Mr. Don had shot my child, and I had the ability to say like his mama's, Davis's mother said, I'm still praying for him. That's meek. Father who gets up and said, I want to lash out, but I want to give my son a better representation than let somebody else call me a thug like they called my son a thug. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For God says, when you're down in the valley, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. God says, when the world have done you wrong, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. God says, when folk have turned their back on you and the legal system has kicked you in the mouth, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. Because how many of you know what goes up is going to come back down? What goes around is going to come back around. I know justice for Jordan Davis has not yet happened in the legal sense of this world, but I believe in a God who says, I'll straighten out crooked places and I'll smooth over rough places. So I'm still standing on the promises of God that says to me, I'm going to work this thing out. You just wait and see. Let me be God all by myself. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I can listen to ancestors and grandmamas and granddaddies, plantations, cotton fields, tobacco fields. If I can't get there, God, let my grandchild get there. If I can't go to the school, let my grandchild go to the school. If I can't get the job, let my grandchild get the job. And look up for centuries later, decades later, how many of you would have imagined in our lifetime we would have seen, if I can't get to the White House, let somebody get to the White House. God will make a way out of no way. At the heart of the Beatitudes is an understanding that God is a God of justice and righteousness and will never leave you alone. Jesus goes on to say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Listen, you gotta be hungry for God's word. You got to want to know more about God. You got to desire to understand. You got to wake up in the morning, whether you get to a church or not. You got to have your Bible there and say, I want to know more about you, God. I'm hungry for your righteousness. I'm thirsty to know more about who you are. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of
God, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I can put Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King in this message. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake. I can put Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass. I can put so many of our foremothers and forefathers in the message. Blessed are the peacemakers when they were going against all manner of hell. They were still able to say, I love you, even though you hate me. I can put a whole bunch of folk in the story, y'all. But if we don't bless them, God's got a blessing for them. The message goes on to say, blessed are you. And here I want to make a point out. I want to point out something. Here the message even becomes more personal. Because in some respect, blessed are those, those I may know or those I may not know. It seems a little bit impersonal, it seems a little bit distant, it seems a little bit removed. But in verse number 11, the thing comes home to me. Because the Bible, Jesus then says, blessed are you when they revile. He didn't say, blessed are you if they revile you. He didn't say, blessed are you might they revile you. He says, blessed are you when they revile you, when they persecute you, when they say all kinds of evil against you for my sake. He says, if they persecuted the prophets, how much more are they not going to persecute you? You and I need to understand that there have been others who have gone this road. And even though we go through stuff and we think it's the worst thing in the world, understand there have been some folk who've gone before us, who've gone through some worse stuff. And if they can still say praise God and thank your Lord, I ought to get a little bit of a clue that I can say praise God and thank you, Lord. I know I'm down in the valley, but I can still say praise God and thank you, Lord. I know I'm on the rough side of a mountain, but do I have any worshipers here who can still say praise God and thank you, Lord? I know you don't have a job yet, but do I have anybody who understands you're not the first one and you won't be the last one? So you might as well go ahead and lift up your hands and say praise God and thank you, Lord. I know you got sickness in your body. I know you got cancer in your breast. I know your prostate isn't acting right. But can you still muster up a praise God and a thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord. You don't go through some things. Blessed are you when you go through. And if you haven't been through, keep on living. Because sooner rather than later, you may find yours. I don't wish anything ill on anybody, but I'm only 45 years of age, and I've been through a few things already. I've got a few more things I'm going to go through, but I need to determine in my heart, no matter what I go through, am I still going to be a blessing to the Lord? It's not about what I get, but it's about what I give. If I can give the best of my service, if I can give him a praise offering, when I'm down in the valley, if I can lift up my hands and say, Lord, I don't know when I'm going to get out of here. I don't know how I'm going to get out of here. But until I get out of here, I'm going to praise you and glorify you. Jesus concludes this little short beatitudinal homily by saying, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Bookmark that and go with me back to Psalm number 15. Psalm number 15 says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? And who may dwell in your holy hill? And so in the very same way, the psalm writer tells us that those who are going to get to heaven, if I can use that imagery, who may abide, let's listen to the imagery, who may abide in your tabernacle and who may dwell in your holy hill. The holy hill is often called for Jerusalem. Jerusalem is often reflective on the other side of glory. 12 gates to the city, 3 in the north, 3 in the south, 3 in the east, 3 in the west. Who may abide in Jerusalem, Brother Carrington? The Bible says the person who reflects this kind of character, that's the kind of person who's going to abide in the tabernacle of the Lord. The person that walks uprightly. The person that does not backbite with their tongue. The person who does not take up a reproach against his friend. The person who does not use his money for bribery or usury. It's again reflecting a certain kind of character, a certain kind of disposition, a certain kind of attitude that you're supposed to have. I can tie in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes with Psalm number 15. But look at the beginning of the text. It says, who may dwell in your holy hill? At the end of it says, he who does these things shall never be moved. I want to tie in verse number 5 of Psalm 15 with Matthew chapter 5, verse number 12. Because if I'm going to lay my hands to the gospel plow, I'm not going to take nothing from my money right now. I'm not going to take nothing from my service. I'm not going to take nothing from my commitment, nothing from my faithfulness, because God has been too good to me. And as long as I got my feet planted on solid ground, God says, I shall not be moved. I know my enemies are going to rise up against me, but my feet shall not be moved. I know folk going to talk about you like a dog, but as long as you got your feet standing on holy ground, God said you shall not be moved. As long as you got your eyes looking up to the hills. Do I have any witnesses here today? I know you've been through some stuff. I know you're going through some stuff. I know you're about to go through some stuff. But as long as you're standing on solid ground, God said you shall not, you will not, you shall not be moved. How many of you the devil has tried to kick down, but God got you firm in your spot? How many of you know that the enemies have risen up all around you, but as long as you hold on to God, God said you shall not be moved. And while I'm holding on to God, I'm going back to Matthew 5 verse number 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I know I don't have everything I want. I know I may not be everywhere I want to be. I know I'm not everything folk want me to be, but I'm going to still rejoice, and I'm still going to be exceedingly glad. While I'm waiting for my breakthrough, I'm going to learn how to rejoice. You're not getting the message, are you? Rejoicing is you give God praise, even when you don't feel like it. You give God praise, even when you don't know how you're going to get out. You give God praise, even when you don't want to give Him praise. You give God praise, even though you can't see your way through. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be exceedingly glad. I thank God every day for what the Lord has done for me. I don't curse Him for what I don't have. I thank Him for what I already have. Do I have any rejoicers in the house? Has God already blessed you enough? Hey, do I have any blessed folk here today? Has the Lord opened up doors that no man can shut? Has God built bridges over troubled waters? Has God moved mountains out of your way? Then the Bible says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad while your feet are planted on solid ground. We have too many examples of four mothers and four fathers who weren't supposed to get it, but they got it. Weren't supposed to make it, but they made it. Weren't supposed to be it, but they became it. Weren't supposed to get over, but they crossed over. Weren't supposed to get out, but they got out. Weren't supposed to get around, but they made it around. Weren't supposed to get under it, but they got under it.
examples of God's goodness to God's people. So on today, I simply stop by to use Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, to let us know what kind of attitude we're supposed to have and how to be a blessing after you've gotten blessed. Listen, I'm trying to get into my own spiritual walk. Lord, if you don't bless me again, I've already been blessed enough. You're not, do you hear me? If I don't get another sink, I've already got enough to praise Him for the rest of my days. So I don't need to get anything else. I've already got enough. Now I gotta concentrate on how to give Him the glory, give Him the praise, how to be a blessing to the Lord. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's the kind of blessing. I don't need another blessing. I need to learn how to be a blessing now to the Lord and to my brothers and my sisters that are all around me. Do I have a witness today? God bless you and God keep you is my prayer. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, help me extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. Very simple message. It's not that theologically sophisticated. Stop counting your blessings in terms of material things and start counting them in terms of spiritual things. And once you get to that spiritual level, then you know you don't need anything else to keep giving God the glory. I'm going to keep rejoicing. I'm going to be exceedingly glad. Not just a little bit glad. Exceedingly glad. Because God has been that good to us. Amen. And so the choir's going to sing in a moment. Three invitations. Number one, if you need prayer, just step out in the aisles. Someone will pray for you. One of these deacons, one of these deaconesses, one of these clergy. We'll pray for you. Brother, you coming? You coming for prayer? Look at God. Come on, give God a praise offering, somebody. To God be the glory. Listen, he didn't need to wait till I got through with the other invitations. He knew what he wanted. If you know the Lord is calling you, I want you to stand up and come forward. Our sister's coming down. Okay, let's give God another praise offering. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. She's coming for prayer. All right. To God be the glory. Listen, the other two invitations are clear. If you don't have a church home, we don't want you out there by yourself. We want you to be a part of the body of Christ. We're not the most perfect body of part of the body of Christ, but I tell you what, there is no perfect church. And so if you're looking for a church that loves the Word of God, trying our best to stand on it, and do our best to love God and love neighbor, then you found a good church. You found a great church. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And I want to invite someone to come and unite with us today. Number two. Number three is that if you don't know the Lord Jesus for yourself, then I want this to be the time that you get it right with God. Because God says, if you get it right with me, I will plant your feet on solid ground. Your feet shall not be moved. And I will give you joy in the midst of all your circumstances. And so if you want that kind of relationship with God, I want to offer that. Not through me, through Jesus. In order to know God the Father, you got to know God the Son. And I want to offer Jesus to somebody. Go ahead and sing, choir. The doors of the church are open. The invitation to discipleship is extended. Is there someone today? Is there someone today?